strong voice, like you're glad to be in the house at 11 o'clock in the morning. Somebody say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am a believer, not a doubter. I am a doer, not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Go with me to 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter. I'll be there in a minute, but you can go there now. We're going to talk from the subject of generosity. Generosity. Everybody say generosity. All right. And so, and I'm just going to tell you ahead of time, because you know pastors as straight as they come. This whole lesson is designed to set you up so you'll serve for serve day. I'm just going to tell you in advance. Amen. And so generosity is fueled by love. Generosity is fueled by love. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he did what? He gave, right? And so we understand that generosity is fueled by love. Being generous will prompt people to, will point people to Jesus. Being generous always points people to Jesus. So 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter and the 17th verse, we're going to jump right into it. It says, command those who are rich in this present world. And that word rich simply means abundantly supplied. If you didn't think you're rich, let me just tell you, you are rich, all right? Because I go on mission trips to Haiti and all these different places, and so you may not have everything you want, but you definitely have everything you need. We need some WD-40 on that door. Tell me don't open it no more, all right? And so I'm serious, but serious about that. And so anyways, generosity is fueled by love, and so so if you don't think you're rich, you really are when you begin to go to these other countries and see the desolation and those kind of things that take place. When you come back, you have a greater appreciation for us living in the U.S. of A. And we realize that we really, that God is really, really good to us. Amen. And so he says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth. Watch this, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. So the writer is teaching us, the Apostle Paul, he says, listen, don't put your trust in money. You got it? He says, because, watch this, because most people think that money supplies their need, but that's not true. Don't put your trust in money, put your trust in God, because God will always supply your need. Does that make sense? He says, watch this, he says, command them to do good, that's what we're going to do on September 22nd, to be rich in good deeds and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age so that they may take hold of the life, the writer says, which is truly life, or which is really what it's all about. And, you know, and so I think that, you know, we ought to be thankful that we live in this country. We ought to be thankful that we have the opportunities that we have. And we ought to be generous and understand that God wants us to be generous. We are blessed to be a blessing. Everybody say, I'm blessed to be a blessing. So the whole idea of me wanting to even be blessed is so that I can be a blessing to somebody else. I have enough for me. I still have enough to put away, but I still have a bunch left over so I can be a blessing to other people. You understand? And that is, you know, but sometimes I'm concerned that, you know, the better off people do, the more stingier they become. You got it. As a nation and, you know, and that kind of thing. And that's just not really right. I don't know if any of you all remember, some of us, when we were real little, did your mama ever tell you, hey, go next door and ask Miss So-and-so to borrow a cup of sugar? I don't know if y'all remember those days. And then you would go knock on the door and she didn't look at you funny. She said, oh, yeah, baby, come on in. And she got the sugar. She gave it to you. How many know she did not expect that sugar back? Does that make sense? And so, but nowadays people are doing so well, but all they want to do is just worry about them. But that's not really the heart of God. Does that make sense? And so John Bunyan makes a quote, and he says, you have not lived today until you have done something for someone who can never repay you. And I think that is the key, that I'm willing to do something for someone that cannot repay me. As a matter of fact, I'll take it a little further. I believe that when you do stuff for people, you should never look for anything back from them. For everything we do as unto the Lord and not as unto men. Does that make sense? And so you have to really learn that. And so, you know, You know, giving is the absolute verb of the Bible. When you begin to read the scripture and understand and even do word searches and those kind of things, giving is the verb of the Bible. You see giving all through the scripture. In the Bible, we see the word believe 272 times. In the Bible, we see the word pray 371 times. In the Bible, we see the word love 714 times. But watch it, number four. In the Bible, we see the word give, how much, class? 2,161 times. So giving is the verb of the Bible. And I think that the Holy Spirit was very intentional about this, you know, when the scripture was written, that we needed to understand that we should, you know, we should be givers, but we should want to be givers. And so Psalms, the 37th chapter and the 21st verse, is just very important for you to understand this. It says that the wicked borrow and never repay, but the godly are what? Generous givers. And I think that that's the key, that we have to learn to be generous. I understand that there's different levels of generosity. I get that. So I'm not talking about numbers, as the case may be. You understand? But when I'm willing to step in, when I'm willing to give my heart, when I'm willing to give up myself, when I'm willing to give up my substance, just wherever I am, I think that we have to understand that the godly are generous givers. Put that back up for me, please. So when you go back to the first part, it says the wicked borrow and never repay. How many know it's wrong to borrow and not repay? So the Bible says that the wicked borrow and never repay. All right. Now, you know, as believers, there's times we borrow money, whether it be for a car or for a house or those kind of things. How many know that when we borrow, we should repay? How many know if you just borrow $20 from your friend, you should repay? Isn't that right? And so what happens if I told them I was going to borrow it or I wanted to borrow it and I was going to pay them back on Friday? Friday comes and I don't have it. What should I do? Not what you've been doing. Because a lot of times what people do is they won't talk to them. They will avoid. It's only $20. So the best thing is, listen, we teach this in marriage, but it's in life. It's in relationships. Communication is key. Call them and talk to them. Say, hey, I'm sorry. And look, because I already know I told you I'd have that $20. You got it? And so I'm sure you're going to have a good story. You understand what I'm saying? So give them your good story. Apologize and get the $20 back as soon as possible. Now, can I go a little bit further with that? Don't borrow the $20 if you can't afford to loan it. If you can't do without it. No, you know, I took it out my bill money. Don't do that. Okay, you're a little quiet, but it's okay. It's going to get better. It's going to get better. Everybody say it's going to get better. Proverbs, the 11th chapter and the 25th verse, and they'll put it up on the screen. It says, a generous person will prosper. I mean, the Bible teaches that. And that's why we have to learn to be generous. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. And that is something that we just have to understand, that a generous person, if I'm generous, I am going to prosper. Yes, it's a process. Things don't happen overnight, but they happen over time. But the whole key for me being generous is not that I'm just trying to get something back from that person. Me being generous is because I have the heart of God, that I'm a giver and I want to do that. But God teaches a principle that you can't beat me giving no matter how hard you try. The more you give, the more he's going to give back to you. Does that make sense? But I do it because it's all about the heart. Does that make sense? All right. Big question. Everybody say big question. All right. So now this question, I don't want you to look at your neighbor. You got it. I don't want you to check down your row. I don't want you to look at your first choice or your second choice, because we normally have two choices in church. You know, when I say, hey, look at your neighbor, you look at that person. So then I have to tell you, look at your second choice. I don't know why they didn't choose you the first time, but I don't want you to look at your first or your second choice. But if everyone in this church gave like you gave, what would the condition of this church be? That's a question. Now, don't answer it. Don't answer it. Just something to think about. If everyone in this church gave like you gave, what would the condition of our church be? Would our church be, you know, amazing and sending all this money to missions and, you know, doing all these incredible, building wells in India and helping with orphanages in Haiti, and we do all that, you know, and those kind of things. So if this church had to depend on everybody doing it the way you do it, what would the condition of our church be? It's a good question. Okay, I have another question for you. And I knew this would be quiet time. So one thing is, I prepare my lesson, you know, typically Thursday, Friday, but I prepare my amens on Sunday mornings. So I got a pocket full of them. Amen, Pastor. Good word. All right, second question. If everyone served on the dream team, and our dream team is our army of volunteers that serves here in ministry for all of our first-time guests, if everyone served on the dream team the way you do, what would the condition of our church be? Well, we have an overwhelming amount of dream teamers. You got it. Can I say dream teamers? Yeah, I can say dream teamers. Or, you got it, would we be skimping, you know, just to get enough kid, just to get enough help in the kids' ministry? You know, and you say, well, Pastor, you know, why do you ask those questions? And I'll explain it to you. I believe that every relationship should be reciprocal. Our relationship with God should be reciprocal. I don't think he should be the only one giving. All right, let's break it down to the natural. Let me give you a little hint. If you're married, you should raise your hand on this one, okay? All right, how many happily married couples do we have in the building? All right, okay, cool. All right, gotcha. All right, so my wife, Lady LeConte, is not here. She's with Hannah. They are at a horse show. Anybody that knows, if you know James McIver, you know he loves LeConte. Like, everybody knows that. That's never, like, a doubt. You got it. Amen. You got it. I don't want nobody else. I don't need no. That's not even a thought in my mind. That girl is my girl. You understand what I'm saying? And so, we'll be married 20 years in December, and I'm not just saying this because she's not here, because she would tell you. She actually got to the point, she said, I have to be careful about what I say I like, because you're just going to go make it happen. Like, that is how I am. I love that girl. God gave her to me. The Bible says when a man has found a wife, he's found a good thing and obtained favor from the Lord. So in one day, I got double anointing. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, and so I spend my life, you got it, I pray for that girl, I cover her, you got it, I do whatever I can within, you know, my level, because I don't try to compete against anybody, and that's what you have to learn, you got it, but within my, I do everything I can. We work together as a team. When we believe for something, we come together, we pray, we sow a seed, we'll fast a couple days, a day or two, you know, we always see God manifest in our lives, but I live my life, watch this, making sure that she's okay. I live my life making sure that she's happy. Watch this. She does the same thing for me, though. She spends her life, you know, making sure that I'm okay. She prays for me. You got it? She's always checking on me. You know, this past week was, a little bit of a tough week because we lost a member that we love so much and those kind of things. She kept saying, you good? You good? I'm used to her asking y'all that. Are you good? I said, oh, yeah, babe, I'm good. I'm grace for it and those kind of things. And so, watch this. But I would submit to you that if, watch this, she did all the giving and I never did any of the giving, after so many years, that would get a little bit old. Am I right about it? Right. Because every relationship, there should be a reciprocal. There should be a giving and a receiving on both ends. Does that make sense? Well, if we understand that in the natural, how much more should we understand that with our relationship with God? Let's just, you know, pause and stop. At the very beginning, he gave us his very best gift when he gave us his son, Jesus Christ. And now because of whom we have eternal life, we have salvation, healing is now made for us, provision is now made for us, simply because he gave us his only son, Jesus. And that's a good place to clap right there. And so, you know, and he gave us, you know, oh, man, I don't want to get ahead of myself. He gave us so many things. So my whole thing is, why wouldn't I freely and gladly give back to the one who has gave me his very best? Does that make sense? Whether it's with my, you know, myself. Whether it's my service, whether it's my substance, just anything that I do. And that's why I'm believing that September 22nd, I told you I was setting y'all up in this lesson from the beginning. I'm believing it's going to be an amazing day. And I pointed out in the beginning all the different ones we have. And if you don't know what to do, call. We'll get you connected with it. You know, two families can go and six or seven of y'all can go and just do. Somebody told me that they were going through the neighborhood because there was people that have piles of limbs and stuff. They're just going to go start picking up all the piles and take them down. You know, and it could be an hour, 2 hours, and, you know, and we're going to have our shirts on, and we want you to post the different things that we're doing. Don't put people's names and, you know, that kind of thing. But just the different things that, hey, we're out here impacting our community, and we're going to come back and celebrate. You are never closer to the will of God than when you're impacting somebody's life in an amazing way. When you're bringing fresh air to someone who feels like the world is closing in on them. That's the bottom line. And God has called, because a lot of times people struggle with purpose, and I get that, you know, and you know, oh man, that it bothers me, you know. I don't want to, you know, get too deep in this, but as it bothers me as a little boy, whenever we have revivals and everything and that kind of thing, everybody was called to the Lord. They bring them out. I see the hand of the Lord upon you. I see the hand. And so everybody thought they were supposed to preach. And I'm like, and then people struggle when it doesn't work and they try to make things happen. No. And people struggle with purpose. And that's why, and I'm not knocking education because my kids are going to go to college, but by the 16th degree, y'all understand you're going to get your bachelor's, your master's, maybe your doctorate. You understand? I get that, you know, but you're on your 14th doctorate. You got it? No, it's because I'm struggling, and I'm not knocking anybody, but I'm struggling to find my purpose. And watch this. And the creator of a thing, and God is our creator, has the right to define its purpose, just like Samsung has the right to define the purpose of how their washing machines work, just like JVC has the right to define how, you know, the purpose of how they made that DVD player. God has the right and has already defined how we are to be and what our purpose is in life. You know, we know that we were created to worship God. You got it. We know that. And so a lot of times people are struggling to find their purpose. And, you know, what is God's will for my life? What is God's will? I'm here to tell you, you are never closer to the will of God than when you're making a difference in somebody else's life. When you, listen, has anybody ever done something for somebody and they were so overwhelmed, they were joyful or they had tears, you know, and it made you feel good? Did that ever happen for you? All right? That's God's will for your life. You got it? And watch it. It doesn't, and we always think it has to be, I don't have money to buy somebody a car. It doesn't have to be that. You can give them a $15 gas card to put the gas in the car. And like we do things, you know, sometimes it has nothing to do with money. It has everything to do with, you can tell my coworker is not doing so good or my friend. And so you just send them that text, hey, I'm just checking on you. You got it? And you just open the door. If they want to talk, you talk to them. Or, you know, I meet people all the time. You know, I have no strangers. You know that, right? So everywhere I go, I'm talking to people. And I always find myself encouraging people. And you got to understand that you're never closer to the will of God when you do those things. And so I'm going to give up myself. I'm going to give up my substance. I'm going to give up my service with no hidden agendas. I'm going to glorify God in everything I do. And watch this. And he's already blessed me, so he's going to continue to bless me. Does that make sense? All right. Giving is a matter of the heart. It's a matter of what? The heart. Let me show you something in 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, verses 1 through 7. Paul is writing a letter, of course, to the church at Corinth, and he's using the church at Macedonia as an example of how they were just selfless and they were giving, and he was telling them, you guys need to learn how to do this. Like, y'all are a big church. You got it? And you need to learn how to be a giving church. He says, and now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace of God that has... about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing, what's that next word, class? Joy. So don't forget that word. And their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. So they stretched, they sacrificed. Watch these next four words. Entirely on their own. And I agree with that. I don't believe that people should be pressured into giving. You got it? I don't think that people should be, you know, games should be played with and those kind of things. Why do you not believe that? Because you don't see it in the Word of God. Now, I believe we should give because the Bible says that we should give. You got it? But I believe that when you give, you should give out of just a heart of gratitude and a heart of thanksgiving. Does that make sense? You got it? So, you know, our church has been around 11 years. God has done amazing things. My wife and I came here with me, my wife, my brother, and his wife. So four adults and our children didn't know anybody. And look what the Lord has done. Does that make sense? But when we came, we came giving. My wife and I put $40,000 of our personal dollars into the ministry at the very beginning. And attorneys like, you need to write that up and make it a loan so when the church does well, it could pay you back. No, I told them, no, the church will never pay me back. That is my seed that secures my future. Does that make sense? And so he says entirely on their own. And so we did that because we want to. We should give because we want to give. You got it? Like, I got a question for all of you all that are here this morning. Nobody from the church, a representative from the church, called you last night and told you to be sure you bring your tithes and offering. That didn't happen, did it?
Oh, no.
No. So when the ushers came through a minute ago to pass the buckets, there wasn't a few ushers that stood there a little bit long and said, you need to double up on that. That didn't happen, right? No. That'll never happen because giving is not about pressure. Giving is about me learning the Word of God and wanting to do it from the heart. Does that make sense? He says, let's keep reading. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. And they exceeded our expectation. Paul said, we expected them to give, but man, they went over and above. It's because they were generous. They had the heart to give. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then by the will of God, also to us. So we urge Titus, just as he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. So we're telling Titus, hey, you need to teach them to give. That's really what it was saying. But watch this. He says, but since you excel in everything, he said, you excel in faith, you excel in speech, you excel in knowledge, you excel in complete earnestness and in the love we have kindled in you. He says, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. He said, don't learn how to excel in all these other things, but not learn how to excel in giving. You got it. Five things Paul shows us in this scripture, and then we're going to get up out of here. I'm going to let you go home. All right? Five things. Everybody say number one. First thing he teaches us is to give joyfully. That's the first thing that he teaches us, to give joyfully. What type of giver does the Lord love? A cheerful. You know, if you read it in KJV, it's cheerful, hilarious, prompt to do it giver. You got it? Well, actually, that's Amplified. But he loves it. Yeah, KJV is cheerful giver. But in the Amplified, it says a cheerful, hilarious, prompt to do it giver whose heart is in his giving. I'm just kind of quoting a part of 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. And so when I give joyfully. I give, you know, out of this heart of gratitude. And so I give joyfully. The second thing I do is I give selflessly. Everybody say selflessly. Yeah. John 3:16, we talked about it a few minutes ago. For God so loved the world that he did what, class? He gave. That's the key. So God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The third thing that we see in this scripture is that we ought to give willingly. That we ought to give willingly. Now, 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter and the 12th verse, let's kind of look at this one for a minute. For if the willingness is there, the gift is what? Acceptable, right? So if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. And I think that we have to understand that. You got it? And so it's not. And then now, when we begin to talk about giving, we understand the tithe is a tenth. We all know that. You got it? So move, you know, in your mind beyond that point and just think about just giving, just generosity, just helping and those kind of things. When you begin to understand the principle, it's not so much about the amount as it is the attitude. And that's the key, that I have the right attitude. And when you have the right attitude, listen, if you have the right attitude, you will always want to be generous. Just always want to be generous. Number four. Everybody say number four. Number four, give thankfully. Give thankfully. In Psalms 116:12, David says, what shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits toward me? How many know there's benefits to serving God? I mean, because you accepted Christ into your life, eternal life now belongs to you. You are saved. You got it. And not only does salvation belong to you, but healing belongs to you. And not only does healing belong to you, provision or prosperity belongs to you. He became poor that through his poverty you might be abundantly supplied. And not only that, can I give you another benefit that I really, really like? Another benefit that I really, really like is that he'll never leave me nor forsake me. He's going to be with me till the end. So there's all these different benefits to serving God. You got it? And so David is overwhelmed at this moment, and he says, man, God is so good to me. He says, what can I render unto the Lord for everything that he's done for me? You got it? So I think that we have to have this attitude of gratitude. And so on September 22nd, we're all going to jump in, not because pastor's making us, because that's just not my flow, but because we want to do it. Now, I have to do what the scripture says. The scripture teaches me as the pastor to admonish you to do certain things. You got it? To admonish you to love, to admonish you to give, to admonish you to serve. But it's the Holy Spirit, you got it, that is the one that takes it a little further and says, okay, you haven't signed up yet. You know you ought to do that. And he does it in just the most gentle way. All right. 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter and the 17th verse. Let's get out of here. Y'all ready to get out of here? Y'all don't know if y'all should answer that question or not. I know. It's a setup question. All right. But everybody say September 22nd. Serve day. Okay, here we go. All right, let's go. He says, command those who are rich in this present world. And remember, we said rich just means abundantly supplied, right? Okay, we're going to act like that didn't happen a minute ago. We're going to get a do-over. Y'all remember do-overs? When you was a little kid and you was jumping rope and you messed up and you had to go to the back line. You don't want to go to the back. Let me get a do-over. Yeah, y'all. I know y'all remember do-overs. Pastor's going to give y'all a do-over. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant. And we know the word rich just means abundantly supplied, isn't that right? Yes. He says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant. I could really just stop right there. So many people, when they start doing a little bit good in life, they all of a sudden start thinking that they're better than somebody else. And God has never called us to be like that. You can tell a lot about a person by the way they treat people who can do nothing for them. When I see somebody helping somebody that is not going to be able to return the favor, that's love, that's generosity. Does that make sense? All right. He says, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us everything for our enjoyment. He says, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasures for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. So the writer, I mean, really what the writer says is, they're doing well, so tell them to be generous and don't be arrogant. And don't put their hope in the accumulation that they've accumulated, but put their hope in God. And to the degree that they put their hope in God, they'll always have the right perspective and they'll always have the right mindset. Does that make sense? And so listen, of course, we're going to pray in a few minutes and do our normal pills like we always do. But on September 22nd, I want you to serve. I just want you to do something. Figure it out. And if you don't get with another family and y'all get together and go make a difference. And if you're not sure what to do, call us. We'll give you ideas. Inbox us. Well, don't inbox me on Facebook because I don't use Messenger, but inbox the other staff on Facebook. No, because people say, Pastor, did you get my message? I'm like, I'm sorry. Because it's like thousands of them in there that are unread. And so it's too late. It's too late to start. And so, but if you contact the church, we'll help you. And so, you know, get a group together and get one person, make them the leader, and everybody give them your $5. Then go on by this Tuesday at the latest and go ahead and sign up. And all we want to know is what you're going to do, and then the sizes of the shirts that you need, and then just pay $5 per person and we'll get them. We're going to order them on Wednesday morning. That's why we need you to do this on Tuesday night. And then on that day, anytime between the hours of 8 and 2, go make a difference. And then at 2 o'clock, head this way. And then we're going to take a big picture. We're going to pray together. And we're going to just have fun across the street at Max Place. The kids can play. We'll have a bunch of free food over there. And we'll just, and your entrance to, it's not going to cost you anything. Your entrance into Max Place is your Serve Day t-shirt. Amen. And so we're going to do it like that. We're going to make a difference. Y'all tell me what you think. And I know this is still a sensitive time. We're about to pray. But just tell me what you think. The staff came up with a Serve Day graphic, right? And there was this little area that they couldn't figure out what to put on the Serve Day graphic. Some thought we should put the year, 2018, so every year we could collect them. Oh, man, I've done Serve Day 2018, 2019, 20. I thought that was a good idea. Somebody else thought that we should put, heart. Yeah, somebody thought, you know, we should put a heart. What was the other thing, though? They're 252 because, you know, in this area and those kinds. And they couldn't figure out what they wanted to do. So I just figured I would just send them a picture of a blue star. And they could just put a blue star right there. Some of y'all are like, why a blue star? The Cowboys! But I quickly realized that half of you all would not serve if there was a Dallas Cowboys star. So we are not going to put a Dallas Cowboys star, all right? So I might just draw one on mine when I get, I'm going to get me a sticker and put on mine. So what am I asking you to do? I'm to serve, to go make a difference, but to do it intentionally together as a group that day. You got it. And so, you know, and just do it at your level. I know that, you know, because sometimes whenever we start talking about some of our seniors, like, well, the pastor, I can't. Now, I understand that. You got it. If you're unable, we're not talking about that. And you know, I was talking to one of the mothers. She said something to me. I said, no, mother, you done gave all your days of serving. I wasn't really talking to you. You understand what I'm saying? But there's a lot of us that are young and strong. You got it. And so we can go out there and we can make a difference. Let's pray. Father, we come to you and we thank you for your word.